The first likewake happened at dusk. Sandy had come off patrol around 6 that evening in order to have a little chat with Mike Sanders, the county attorney. They had a particularly nasty hit-and-run trial coming up. Sandy, the prime witness for the prosecution, the victim, a child who had been left a quadriplegic. Mike wanted to be very sure that the coke-snorting Mr. Businessman responsible went away. 5 years was his goal, but 10 wasn't out of the question. Tony Shaindink sat in on part of the meeting, which took place in a corner of the upstairs common room, then went down to his office while Mike and Sandy finished up. When the meeting was over, Sandy decided to top up the tank in his cruiser before hitting the road for another 3 hours or so. As he walked past dispatch toward the back door, he heard Matt Babicki say in a low, just talking to myself voice, "Oh, you fucking thing!" This was followed by a whack. "Why don't you behave?" Sandy peeped around the corner and asked if Matt was having that delicate time of the month. Matt wasn't amused. "Listen to this," he said, and boosted the gain on his radio. The squelch knob, Sandy saw, was already turned as far as it would go toward the plus sign. Brian Cole checked in from Unit 7. Herb Avery, from 5 out on the Sawmill Road. George Stankowski, from God knew where. That one was almost entirely lost in a windy burst of static. "If this gets any worse, I don't know how I'm going to keep track of the guys, let alone shoot them any information," Matt complained. He slapped the side of his radio again, as if for emphasis. "And what if someone calls in with a complaint? Is it getting ready to thunderstorm outside, Sandy?"
"It was clear as a bell when I came in," he said, then looked out the window. "Clear as a bell now, too. As you could see if your neck had a swivel in it. I was born with one, see?" Sandy turned his head from side to side.
"Very funny. Haven't you got an innocent man to frame or something?"
"Good one, Matt. That's a very snappy comeback."
As he went on his way, Sandy heard someone upstairs wanting to know if the damn TV antenna had fallen down because the picture had all of a sudden gone to hell during a pretty good Star Trek rerun, the one about the Tribbles. Sandy went out. It was a hot, hazy evening with thunder rumbling off in the distance, but no wind and a clear sky overhead. The light was starting to drain away into the west, and a ground mist was rising from the grass. It had gotten to a height of maybe 5 feet. He got in his cruiser, D-14 that shift, the one with the busted headrest, drove it across to the Amoco pump, got out, unscrewed the gas cap under the pull-down license plate, then stopped. He had suddenly become aware of how quiet it was. No crickets chirring in the grass. No birds singing anywhere around. The only noise was a low, steady humming, like the sound one hears if one is standing right under the county power lines or near an electrical substation. Sandy started to turn around, and as he did, the whole world went purple-white. His first thought was that clear sky overhead or no, he had been struck by lightning. Then he saw Shed B lit up like... But there was no way to finish the simile. There was nothing like it, not in his experience.